You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey, it's Brother One.
And Brother Two.
From Two Brothers Mattress. You'll spend 33% of this year on your mattress.
That's almost 3,000 hours.
Start sleeping comfortably on a new Serta mattress.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
With our lowest price guarantee
and our 100-night trial,
your locally owned Two Brothers mattress is your number one choice in Serta mattresses. Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
Twobrothersmattress.com.
And now,
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Labor Day weekend, I was 17. I bought a Coke and some gasoline, and I drove out to the county fair.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you for making us a part of your Wednesday. What's going on over there, Ben?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm hoping you're wearing jeans today. Oh, no, you're not.
You would have to wear all denim?
You would have gone the full Canadian tuxedo.
No, not today. I can. I have the ability.
I don't know if I have a denim shirt anymore. I love jeans, but I don't know if I have a denim shirt anymore. Certainly not one that I wear. I don't know.
Don't go a lot of blue on blue.
Why not?
I'm not 9 years old. My mom's not dressing me anymore. I don't know. I'm not posing for a weird family portrait where we're all dressed in full denim head to toe.
That's funny. That would be funny. All right, man. What's going on? You good?
Yeah, things are good. Life's good. Hey, how much of Will Hardy's pregame did you guys play last night? Did you do the whole technical foul stuff or no?
No.
Okay.
We didn't make it there. Why?
Oh, he was funny. We asked him about how many Andy Larson before the game was reading out of the, you know, there's a big booklet they print out before every game that just kind of has season highs, season lows, some of the season stats. How well has a team challenged calls? How many technical fouls does everybody have, including the coach? And we were all guessing how many technical fouls we think Will Hardy had this season. What's your thought?
He's had more than one, certainly.
Yep.
But it hasn't been a lot.
It's not a ton.
No, I mean, like, and honestly, players don't even rack up that many technical fouls. Like,
not
like,
with the Jazz. And that was actually a part of the big conversation.
Well, like, there's one player in the league that makes it to the teens, and that's Draymond Green.
Luke usually gets there, too, but you're right.
Four.
Eight.
Wow, more than I would have thought.
And then we all argued, at least I know I did, that he should have more. And then we started discussing why he doesn't have more, and then we asked him why he doesn't have more, and if he feels like he gets more leeway or less leeway. Wait, why, with the referees.
What's the rationale why he should have?
Oh, he's always on the refs, all game long. I know we don't see it on TV.
But you've seen Doc Rivers. I mean, he's not
No, I mean, Will is always on the refs, constantly. Now, he also explained kind of an interesting thing. He said, imagine you have 100 units of getting on the refs. Like, you have 100 opportunities to do it as a team throughout the season. With the Warriors, with the Mavericks, Draymond is going to eat up 60 to 70 of those units of getting on the refs, right? And he's going to draw 15 techs, et cetera. And then Klay Thompson might take 10. And then maybe Steve Kerr takes the remaining 15, whatever. And that's not techs. I just mean like the ability to really get on the refs and try and get your point across. The Jazz don't have a single player who's going to take up five. So Will Hardy has to do more of that work with the referees than the players will, because Lowry doesn't talk to anybody. Second most notable player maybe at the moment is a rookie in Keontae George. If you want to say it's Colin Sexton, Colin's a little bit on the refs. Maybe he takes five units. John Collins never talks to the refs. Like, the Jazz don't have players doing that legwork, so Will Hardy has to do it. And in fact, it seems like the officials are aware of that and may give him some added leeway. And then I said, I think he looks intimidating because he's kind of tall. He's got a deep voice, and he kind of always has a furrowed brow. So I always, what I see looks technical foul worthy, but he insists that he uses very kind language. He's not insulting, and he knows the words you can't say that you'll get a technical foul, and he doesn't use them.
I find that interesting. Can I tell you, though, that my initial reaction is this whole conversation really aggravates me?
Okay.
Like, why not just hire referees with a spine?
You have to politic. Unfortunately, I'm with you, but
that's,
you have to politic.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. This whole thing. And then, you know what? What makes it even more maddening is it trickles down to where you see some high school coach losing his mind at some, you know, part-time guy who's just trying to put it, you know. And I don't want to defend bad refereeing in at the high school level. I'm sure it's got to be better. But I don't this whole concept where you have to politic with the referees is so annoying. But here, I'll back you up. I'll tell you why it's necessary. Because they're terrible. For example, to go to a game last night, Ben, and I don't mean to hijack your conversation. We certainly can get back to, you know, Will Hardy's responsibilities ultimately with this team and this year, and whether it's been a success from his end or not, or a failure, I think is a fascinating one. But since when, or why, I guess now, can you use your off arm as a weapon as long as you're trying to dunk it?
Okay, yeah.
Because
Baron Davis notoriously on Andre Kirilenko, but yeah.
Because
we'll see it a lot.
Last time I checked, that should be a foul. And we can get to the example that we saw last night where he wasn't even going to come close to dunking it. But somehow it was like, oh, let him play. No harm, no foul. Meanwhile, Walker Kessler has a broken freaking nose.
Yep, he does. I didn't see the replay, so that makes sense. That's how it happened. I only saw his face covered in blood as he walked off the floor.
But the truth is, and this is why I never thought I would say this ever in my career, but I really appreciate Austin Rivers because he really spoke some truth about refereeing, that they're just fans too, and they want to see Anthony Edwards dunk it. And so they'll let him get away with anything, including sticking an entire finger right through John Collins' face if it means that they can see a spectacular play. And that just wraps up refereeing in a nutshell. Because they're absolute bozos that aren't there to do their job, but they're there to watch basketball. They're like, oh, I get a front row seat to this thing. Are you kidding? Did you see how high Anthony Edwards jumped? Oh, yeah, what about the finger through John Collins' face? Oh, that doesn't matter because, you know, he was jumping so high. Evan Mobley last night absolutely clocked Walker Kessler in the face with a vicious elbow. Vicious. Can you find the I'm curious if, can you find the replay on there? Because as usual, when they cut to break and they're queuing up the replay in the studio, we saw the replay like 15 times. I mean, you should, Ben, just absolutely right in the nose, elbow.
Oh yeah, he does.
Just
he goes
him.
Up and then brings the left arm down, brings the right arm down because he's going up with his left, brings the right arm down. Yeah, absolutely. Cold clocks.
Breaks his nose.
Walker Kessler in the face.
But he was trying to dunk it, so let him play.
Yeah.
Let him play. But of course, people that are just excited to watch Anthony Edwards jump are not going to be, have a spine when it comes to calling fouls on superstar players. Or not being swayed by coaches, or being sad because I got yelled at by somebody, so that's going to affect my next call. I shouldn't be surprised that that is something that has to be managed in the NBA. But it is frustrating to me because Walker Kessler should have some sort of justice for catching an elbow from one of the biggest humans on the planet. Let him play! No harm, no foul. Hey, I'm thinking to myself, like, don't they usually review any sort of, like, if you ruffle somebody's hair, and they're like, well, that was close to the head. We got to review it.
They only do that with the offensive player, which is weird. If you hit the offensive player in the head, they review it.
Oh, heaven help you. You'll probably be suspended
for
5 games.
But the defensive player is fair game. You can hit that guy with the sledgehammer. And, yeah, apparently it's no foul.
John Collins catches a finger to the brain and gets called for a foul. Think about that, Ben. he got called for a foul, and the contact was his eyeball and Anthony Edwards' now dislocated finger. Foul on Collins. I can't see. My eyeball is on the floor. What? Did I hear you right? Call was on me? And everybody, and then I love it that the conversation the entire next day is, oh, how would you like to be John Collins today? Anthony Edwards caught a body. Whoa, John Collins. Wait, you mean the guy that just scooped his eyeball off the floor, that guy?
I will tell you, I'm more pro highlight than I am calling the offensive foul in that situation.
I know. Trust me, I know. Oh, they should have called the foul last night on Walker Kessler. How dare your nose get in the way of his elbow?
Right. The offensive player has a right to space.
Space does not mean that you get to
no, that was a foul
use,
on
your,
the,
use your elbow as
that was
some,
absolutely a foul on Evan Mobley.
Some sort of weapon.
But no technical foul on Will Hardy last night to bring this full circle. He never picked up a tee. We were kind of worried that we were going to goad him into picking up a technical, and of course he's smarter than all of us. So.
What a challenge for a coach early in his head coaching career. And I mean that, I don't mean for that to sound as negative, but like, you know, you're in a transition period as a franchise. Your goals are different than, hey, go out there and win as many games as you can. You have to manage that attitude in the locker room, which has got to be weird. You've got a team that plays no defense whatsoever, and you can't let that culture permeate from year to year. So you got to figure out how to manage that. I mean, it's like a zillion different things. Now, all of a sudden, I've got to yell at the refs more or something. I'm sure he doesn't sleep at night. Sure, his brain is just spinning with, okay, I used 3.5 units of screaming at that idiot Tony Brothers.
I've got 20 left. I got to space these out.
I mean, but yeah, I guess you got to set the tone for the team. I mean, all these things that we're not thinking about, like, you guys are dissecting how much he's yelling at the refs, and it's because Colin Sexton doesn't use enough units, and Lowry actually gives units to the refs because I think he buys them gift baskets.
Sure. You called a foul on me? I forgive you.
Still love you.
Still love you.
Still
Tony
love
Brothers.
Hey, Bill Kennedy, my guy. I don't know. But I'm glad I'm not him because it's hard. I'm sure what he's doing
Will
right
Hardy?
Now, yes, as a head coach is really hard right now. And it's one of those things where he's not making the roster decisions and that sort of thing. He's just asked to go coach the squad of dudes that's available for him to coach. And it's got to be tough right now.
He also has to be the personality of the team, which is really hard because Lowry's pretty personalityless. John Collins is a transplant and pretty personalityless. Colin Sexton is a little bit in his own world, and not in a bad way. These aren't criticisms of any of these people. In fact, I think these are guys you would like to have on good teams at some point, but you also got to have those leaders on the court, and the Jazz don't really have a leader on the court. They don't have that type of player who has that personality, and maybe a Keontae George could develop it at some point, but he's not there yet. No one's listening to the rookie.
Well, they don't care about leaders right now. That's got to be a challenge.
Right. So, but you still have to have one. That's the thing. Whether you care about it or not, it's going to develop naturally. And because none of the players are going to do it, Will Hardy kind of has to do it. So he's got to learn how to be an NBA coach. And he also has to be this voice, vocal leader, culture setter, which is a lot. Which actually was some value to what Mike Conley brought last year. Maybe even what some of what Kelly Olynyk brought earlier this year. But with neither of those guys on the roster, it's an extra burden on Will Hardy.
I don't know if you can identify with this, Ben, but I can. I won't get into details. But have you ever been set up to fail in your job for the greater good?
I don't think so.
I have.
Okay.
And it sucks.
Okay.
It sucks. And then you remind yourself, well, they told me this is for the greater good.
By design.
This is what was going to happen or whatever. And it doesn't make it... Well, first of all, it doesn't make it any fun. Second of all, it makes it that much harder... Because you're still expected to do a job, whatever that job is. So, I don't know. I feel for everybody on the team in a weird way. But honestly, like, the players should be just taking advantage of every moment that they're out there. But getting drubbed and blown off the floor in the first quarter and basically it's over is rough.
Yeah, when you're down 40-25 after the first, what are you doing? And you know what's going on. Like, they all know.
I mean, these teams are all resting their good players, and it doesn't matter. But the truth is, they're trying to lose. So how do you manage that as a head coach? Like, oh, well, we're incentivized to lose games, so we got to lose as many. Go out, lose on three. 1, 2, 3, lose. I mean, he's in the silliest position ever. I hate the way that the NBA is set up. Each day that goes by, I dislike this whole draft idea more and more.
I may have gotten to the point where I just say even out all the odds in the lottery. I may be there
right
now.
Everybody, you know what I was thinking about?
Because then
this.
You might as well be the 14th worst team.
Because who cares?
Because if it's
you
the
might
same
as well
the
win.
Yeah, you might as well win. But how was that bad for the NBA at all?
It's not.
And you know what? If you're not good enough to be able to get to the 14th spot, that's a franchise issue.
Well,
spend more money.
I was thinking about this. Think about what it would do for trades. First of all, you'd move a lot of first round picks because it could be the 28th. But it could be the first.
Well, I would say the entire lottery is even. I wouldn't say all 30.
Oh, I'm going all 30.
I would say all 14.
And then think about this, Ben, like draft night trades where you really need to get into the top five, but you drew dead at number 23, and you've got to figure out how to get higher up in the draft. That would encourage movement. Also, stockpiling draft picks for rebuilds would be super valuable because you'd rather have three ping pong balls in there as opposed to one or zero. I mean, it would... make it so fascinating.
If all 30 picks were lottery picks,
could be
rearranged, then you're right. Picks would fly all over the place.
They'd go everywhere. We'd see movement. Rebuilds would happen in a flash. It would be awesome.
Only 14 picks, the teams that missed the playoffs, are all equal lottery picks. You would basically never see trades with draft picks. Because everyone would say, well, no, that's a potential number one overall pick. Now, it would only be a whatever 6% chance of getting there. But yeah. More teams would be willing to hold on to their picks.
Listen,
you would see less of trading these superstars, dropping down to being the worst team in the league, winning 15 games a year just to have draft picks.
I love the concept of relegation because you have the carrot and the stick, right? If you can't do relegation.
Which they can't.
Which they're and would never do. So the stick option is out. Get rid of the carrot on the other side. Get rid of the incentive to lose. I mean, this is sports. Why would there ever be an incentive to go out and lose? And I can't believe it hasn't infiltrated other sports more, maybe because draft picks don't matter as much in Major League Baseball. And in football, there are so few games, even though, remember, the Dolphins owner was trying to bribe the coach to go out there and lose. So it is a thing in football.
And there are so few guarantees drafting at the top of the NFL versus what we think are guarantees at the top of the NBA draft, but still.
And the NBA, one player makes a huge, huge difference. So why are we incentivizing the Jazz? And we're just talking Jazz here. And I'm not blaming anybody. This is the NBA's
right,
fault.
This is not the Jazz's fault. This is the system. They are playing in the system that is created for them.
Why would you ever incentivize teams to lose? That makes no sense whatsoever. I feel like even if you have to do a draft, I like the idea of just give them a salary cap and go sign these rookies. And if you want to bend over backwards to give a rookie a crazy deal and just you're going to have a rookie and nobody else on the team, well, then knock yourself out if you think that's the right way to go. I like that, I think, better than this current system because this is silly. And how does it affect the top, the standings? Like that teams get to rest all these players playing against the Jazz as they come through and they get an automatic win? You shouldn't have an automatic win ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Detroit has been trying to lose for years now. That should never be a thing. And that shouldn't be the idea to a rebuild. Imagine if you could be like, all right, we're going to flip Donovan and Rudy. We're going to get all these first-round picks. So we have four ping pong balls, and we're bound to pop on one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, we'll trade. Imagine draft day. All right, we've got four first-round picks. Somehow they all came out 16 or worse.
Yeah, right.
But we're going to give all of them to you for three or whatever.
Yeah.
You'd rebuild in a heartbeat.
I'm with you. I don't like the current system. I don't think anyone likes the current system. Certainly see it on my Twitter timeline. Jazz fans don't like the current system. They understand it, but losing's not fun.
It's bad for selling tickets. It's bad for TV product.
It's bad for sustained enjoyability of your franchises. Yeah, it kills the middle class of the NBA, which is where sports are exciting. So, yeah,
I'm gonna start a movement, Ben.
I mean, I think it's I think it's there. I'm not sure we'll ever actually get to it, but yeah, I think evening out the 14 lottery picks at the very least would be a very strong move in the right direction. Now, would you start getting teams trying to miss the playoffs so they could get an equal chance of getting a number one overall pick? There are ramifications there.
Exactly. Remove it all. Because to make it the playoffs, which then you're going to have teams at 7 going like, well, we're going nowhere in the playoffs, so we might as well lose. Might as well lose 10 games in a row to drop down past the play-in. I mean, getting into the play-in would totally be a zero incentive. You'd have teams trying to lose like crazy. I don't know, Ben. I don't like it. That feels like a cat to me.
Could be. And I think the other cat you put in to follow it up is, yeah, you just miss a huge chunk of revenue if you don't make the playoffs. The revenue sharing that the NBA does do, you're in a lower tier. That's how you relegate teams. You say, you get less money by a lot. You make the playoffs, that's where the money's made, that's where people are watching the games. The teams that make the playoffs, they get a bigger share of that, a much bigger share.
Well, that's kind of true now, actually.
But go even higher. Make it more punitive.
Well, because most teams break even in the regular season. It's all budgeted for that. That was always the conspiracy theory about Larry Miller, right?
It wasn't a conspiracy. He said it. He said, I don't make money until we make the playoffs.
No, but that he was willing to just be mediocre because he had to have that playoff revenue.
Okay.
Which I don't necessarily buy. I don't think it's fair to accuse Larry Miller of not being all in to win a title. I think that's ludicrous. But that was the thing, right?
Like, yep.
Well, you don't want to be great. You just want to make the playoffs every year so you make that profit. But that's true of pretty much any NBA franchise not named like the Lakers or the Knicks that somehow sell out of that building for a bad product. Didn't the Knicks had a bad loss last night, didn't they?
Did they lose again?
Yeah, your love of the Knicks. I can't wait to see them
fail.
Well,
it's their 15-2 when OG Anunoby plays, but he can't get right from this elbow injury.
Oh, it's not a bad loss. They lost to the Heat, 109-99. All right.
It's not the Bucks.
Oof, yeah, yikes. To the Wizards?
Yep. That was a toughie.
Well, Doc wasn't the solution there.
Apparently not. Dame's not playing. They're trying to get him right for the playoffs. But
beware the consultant that says, you know what the solution is.
Moi.
You're looking at
myself.
Him. You're looking at him right here. He can step right in tomorrow. Stay tuned. Top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the U Sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week. Sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. All right, time for the top three stories of the day. KSLSports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the Jazz extend their losing streak to 10.
Yeah, and it's probably going to keep going from there if I had to make a guess. Ben, once again, the Jazz pretty much drummed out of it in the first quarter. The second half was much better than the first half, but to no avail. I mean, the game was never really competitive.
Yeah, the Jazz trimmed it to 50-45. In the third quarter, and then the Cavaliers finished on a 17-2 run, I think. So it was up over 20 again going into the fourth quarter. And, yes, was certainly not a pretty game. Colin Sexton snaps his 20-point game streak at 11. He'd done that 11 times in a row as he continues to play very well. Bryce Sensabaugh, though, I think has been the name of the game for the last two outings for the Utah Jazz. 22 points against Sacramento, 22 points last night. Also added, what, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 assists, something like that. He's just kind of figuring it out. And the big question about Bryce Sensabaugh, if you didn't watch him at Ohio State, was he would bully a bunch of guys in the mid-range and then has a really soft touch, which he still does a little bit in the NBA, but nobody shoots that way. Even last night, he took 5 mid-range shots. He made 2 of them. Well, just basic math, that's bad shooting. Even if you hit 2 really tough shots, if you only go 2 for 5, you've got 4 points on 5 shots, okay? You're below 1 point per possession. That's bad math. But if he can step out and take 9 threes a game and hit 6 of them, all of a sudden the number of ways he sticks in the NBA is pretty interesting. Because worst case scenario, he's George Niang, like a little bit shorter George Niang. By the way, nothing mini about the minivan anymore. Did you see him yesterday?
The guy.
He looks awful.
He played like it.
He has absolutely stopped trying. Good for George Niang. He is milking it in there in the weight room. So, but looking at Bryce, he's pretty intriguing. He's just an intriguing player. His defense is certainly nowhere near as bad as was advertised early in the season. And the other things he does are fun to watch. And we'll see if he can turn that into an actual NBA career. But there's the makings of it.
Do you want to talk about the actual reason they lost, though?
Sure.
Well, because while Walker was gluing his nose back on, Will Hardy looked down his bench and said, "You, Šamanić, go defend the biggest team in the league."
Yeah.
And I think Omer Yurtseven is a actual success story this year. When he's gotten an opportunity, he's played pretty well. But, I mean, Cleveland is huge.
They are.
And he was totally overmatched. And Cleveland dunked all night. It was another one of those Jazz games where they're just going to dunk on you. Like, why would Darius Garland even shoot? He can just pass it to Jared Allen to dunk.
The scheme that the Jazz were running last night, and I will be fair, I did not ask Will Hardy about it after the game of why they couldn't figure it out, but seemingly because it seemed like the Cavs dunked 15 times, right? Like, you would either have Jared Allen or Evan Mobley, and in the first quarter they combined to shoot 9 of 10 from the floor, I think. They had 23 points combined after one. They would set a screen, and then they would just slip the screen every single time, and there would be no help on the back end to stop them from getting layups or dunks. None at all. And every time the guards in the corners, who I would imagine were either supposed to come down and chip or somebody was supposed to help, they just like, they would all point at each other like, why didn't you stop him? It's like the Jazz had no idea what the plan was, it felt like.
Oh, there was a plan, but you heard me say that one of those monsters just took the face off their biggest player with an elbow, right?
But that was second quarter.
You go stand in front of Evan Mobley.
Well, okay, give me millions of dollars and maybe I'll try.
Luka Šamanić ain't making millions of dollars.
I didn't know if they were trying to trap. I honestly couldn't figure out what they were trying to do.
They were trying to get out of the way. Everybody but Omer Yurtseven was not physically equipped to go stand
but
in front of Evan Mobley.
But there was a lot of people looking at Omer like, Omer, why didn't you do your job there?
You saw Sexton get switched on to Mobley
right, a lot of times.
And like he's giving it his all out there, but Colin is
little.
Very small
compared
to Evan Mobley. So I guess we could say, what's the plan? But I think the plan was, well, we're going to go out there and lose because they're way bigger than us.
And then I will be very curious what we see of Walker Kessler the rest of the season. Will Hardy said he has to get a mask. Does he play? I mean, honestly, the Jazz have so few bodies. Maybe he doesn't. But the Stars got eliminated last night in the playoffs, so maybe bring old Big Ken Lofton.
You know what? If I'm the Jazz, I totally play him. Because you know what the best part about him getting hurt? That sounds weird. Last night was, even though his nose was laying on the side of the floor, he got back in the play. Did you see that? He got back into the play. Yeah. I love that. Showing a little toughness. And I think he may even have a concussion. I was glad they got him off the floor, you know. Because it seemed like he was a little wobbly when he was walking. But how about that? Got back in that dang play. Good for him. So, yeah, throw a mask on him. Have him go out there and play some more.
We'll see. We'll see what the next, six games left for the Jazz? 2 home games. We'll see who plays. We're not going to see Lowry. I hope we see Jordan Clarkson one more time. I don't know if we'll see John Collins with back stuff. I'm not sure.
No harm, no foul. All right, what's next?
Number 2, Utah's NIT run is over.
Weird. They lost on the road.
Explain what you mean by that, because I don't know if they lost this game because they forgot how to play offense.
No, the offense was fine. Defense continues to be absolutely abysmal. No, offensively, they were actually pretty brilliant. What did they shoot? 17 of 29 from 3? 34 of 65 overall? Question is, how'd you lose that game? You knocked down 17 threes in a college basketball game in 40 minutes and you lost? What? How? BYU's magic secret was if they hit double-digit threes, they basically are guaranteed to win. You spotted them 30 points. You'd spotted themselves, what is that, 51 points on threes and lost? What are you doing?
Ben, they had no answer. No answer for Indiana State at all on any possession. Like, there wasn't even the resistance was none. Talk about schemes. I'd love to know what the dang scheme was, because it didn't work at all. Like, I don't know if you want to call it an effort thing. I don't know about that, but they just didn't seem to have an answer. And Indiana State's really good, by the way. They should be in the NCAA.
They should have been in the tournament. But the math really isn't mathing. Indiana State hit 3 more shots, 3 total more shots than the Utes in the entire game. And the Utes hit 5 more threes. Like, you got to win that game. Now, where the difference was that Indiana State made 15 free throws, or 14 free throws, and the Utes only made 5. Neither team shot particularly well, but the Utes, who were plagued by poor free throw shooting all year, also just went 5 of 10 last
night. Well, what do you do when you don't have an answer defensively?
Foul.
That's what you do.
Hack them.
No, it's rough. I mean, Craig is going to have to look at their – I mean, I think their defense let them down more than their offense this year. If you want to look at why Utah, lost the games that they did, that's why.
But Daewon Smith was brilliant last night. Had maybe his best game of the season, in all honesty. I know he's had some triple-doubles, but he had 28 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 of 6 from the three-point line.
Trying out for another team, man.
Sounds like it. I mean, I would be very worried he would be gone if I was a Utah fan.
Didn't he tweet out something about thanking everybody or something?
Yeah, the Utes tweeted out, hey, thanks to all our loyal fans for following along. And he says, thanks for welcoming me with open arms immediately. It didn't. When I first saw it, my initial thought was, oh, is he saying goodbye already? And then my second thought was, oh, no, he's just saying, I was glad everyone was nice to me when I got here.
Oh, that's a threat is what that is.
But I mean, I don't expect him back next year. I'd happily be wrong.
That's a threat that, hey, this could be a goodbye.
A guy who has 5 triple-doubles this season and finishes against a good Division I team who probably should have been in the tournament in Indiana State and puts up 26, 7, and 6 on 6 of 6 shooting from the three-point line. Yeah, every team in the country is going to come calling that needs a point guard. So he's going to get a lot of offers, probably going to get a lot of cash. So it's going to be back to the drawing board completely for this Utah basketball team. They're just losing a ton, so I'll be curious what they look like next year. I have no idea. Probably bad.
Next.
Number 3, the Bills are trading Stephon Diggs.
Getting a second-round pick, but not this year, a second-round pick next year. As somebody who's tried to watch the Bills, I told you I sold all my Bills stock in November last year, and I was glad I did. Part of the reason is because I actually don't believe in Stephon Diggs all that much. I know he puts up the numbers. I know a lot of people think he's the reason why Josh Allen's any good. He's also a headache. He also has games where he disappears. He does have some weird drops. Well, I'm not as high on Stephon Diggs as some people are.
I get it that all wide receivers cry about not getting the ball enough. That's just something that comes with the position because you're dependent on somebody else throwing it to you or running a play for you, all these things. And so you're going to cry to everybody who's going to listen about you're always open and you need the ball more. But guys who have a loud enough voice to have that impact the quarterback's decision-making, I think can be a problem. Does that make any sense? Like, they forced it to him so many times because they didn't want him to cry about it in the postgame and
make a dang
scene. And if he's your wide receiver one that you're paying all this dough to, well, eventually the rubber's got to meet the road, and he's either got to be the best receiver in the league and go win you a Super Bowl, or you probably have to part ways. So I'm not really surprised. And to your point, if you think Stephon Diggs is overrated, then that means that you can match most of his production with a rookie, honestly.
Oh, this is a very good wide receiving class. So maybe even at 28, I think is their draft pick, right. You might even have somebody drop to you there.
And so you bet on your quarterback instead of the overly vocal receiver.
Who seems like a
no-brainer to me, actually. I saw our guy Sam. He was a little surprised by the move. Sam Farnsworth on Twitter. And I kind of wasn't. I kind of thought this was inevitable. You know when I thought this was inevitable was last year. Do you remember the scene he made after losing in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. But that was constant. He was always making scene.
No, it was constant.
It was annoying.
Like that was after a playoff game. I mean, that just was, I don't know. There are certain things that are red flags, I think.
I like the Texans, though. Fun for the Texans. They've gone out and invested a lot in their roster and putting help around C.J. Stroud. So it'll be fun to watch them next year.
Oh, I don't make a trade for him if I'm the Texans. Yeah, I don't want him anywhere near.
I'm not sure I want that pressure on C.J. Stroud to all of a sudden have to start answering to a wide receiver at this point. Probably good news for our guy Dalton Kincaid, though. He's going to get a lot of looks from Josh Allen this year.
Well, now he doesn't have to force it into Diggs just
Correct.
To shut him up in the locker room.
Right.
Imagine that. That's annoying.
Yep.
All right. It is a Win Ticket Wednesday. We have good tickets this week. Well, we have good tickets every week. Yeah, don't get me wrong, because we really do. We're way fortunate in that way. But Tim McGraw at Delta Center coming up on this Friday. So I have a feeling that these are going to be in high demand. So stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our 50th segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Ben, it's Wednesday. That means it's a win ticket Wednesday. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to get a pair of tickets to go see Tim McGraw at Delta Center on April 5th, which would be this Friday. So caller 12, 801-575-ZONE. Isn't he married to somebody famous?
Faith Hill, I believe.
But that's not the one who Biggie Smalls was married to. That's Faith something else.
You're right. Yeah, Tim McGraw is married to Faith Hill as of 1996.
But I'm right about the Biggie thing, right? Faith
Who
something?
Was notorious Big Faith. Her name was Faith Evans.
Faith Evans. There you go. Although Bad Boy Records is somewhat of a touchy subject these days.
Diddy? Things not going well for Diddy?
Apparently things are going really,
really,
really
south.
Badly, yeah. For him. What's the latest on that? Is he on the lam or is he still hanging out? What's he doing? There's like rumors he skipped the country to somewhere in the Caribbean, right?
Puff Daddy.
Whereabouts?
Whereabouts. It sounds like he's not on the run. Sounds like that's not the big story when I Google him, so people must know where he is.
Hey, Ben, did you see yesterday that voters of Jackson County rejected public funding for the Royals and Chiefs and renovations of their stadium yesterday? 58% of the voters rejected the plan. And I do not pretend to know the ins and outs and complexities of Jackson County politics. But given how good the Chiefs have been, I was surprised. And it made me think immediately about you pointing out to me a couple of weeks ago what a bad owner the Chiefs had.
Yeah, and I think that might be part of it, that they don't like the ownership.
But now they're kind of loosely threatening to move, which is sad.
Voters have officially chosen not to give a $2 billion handout to the billionaire owners of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Royals. The owners wanted the residents of Jackson, home of Kansas City, to pass a 40-year sales tax to pay for the stadium. Voters rejected it 58-42.
I do not like the concept of the public being arm-twisted into funding stadium projects. I really don't. But, man, that ship sailed a long time ago, it seems. Because especially the NFL, they're going to find somebody that's going to build them. They're going to find a community that's going to build them a stadium.
You find the weak link in the chain, right? Yeah, maybe Salt Lake says no, but Vegas says yes. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, someone's getting it.
Right.
And you're losing it. And it's not like the government's going to say, well, we had that $1 billion in place anyways. We're just going to turn and give it to the schools. Should they? Probably. Are they? They will not. Nobody does that. So, yeah, I don't know how you fight that when there's always somebody willing. I mean, it's you know, Amazon had this big issue, right, in New York, where it's like, yeah, we're not going to give you tax-free. We're not going to make it tax-free for you to operate here. And Amazon said, okay, we'll go up the street and we'll do it wherever we can. Like,
see ya.
And then they get the benefit of the, you know, thousands of jobs that you add. This arm-twisting goes well beyond sports billionaires. And that doesn't say it's right. That doesn't make it right. But it is a natural part of our world.
The highest profile. Now, you know, when it comes here locally, I'll tell you this, Ben, BYU, and specifically their football brand, has had this figured out. And, hey, the church as a whole has had this figured out for a long time. I would argue that the church's biggest marketing arm reach is, I would say, two things. Now, people more in the know certainly could argue with me. I'd be willing to listen. But I would say two things. The choir and BYU football.
Okay.
Now, I'm thinking outside of the missionary program and all that sort of thing. I'm just thinking purely in marketing terms. Am I missing anything? Like, I mean, people associate the church with BYU football. And the choir has sung at inaugural...
Sure. Right.
Whatever they call it. Ceremonies.
Superstars come in and sing here.
Right. I mean,
the Muppets came.
I watched them with James Taylor.
Right.
Which was a really cool concert, by the way. But as far as these, like, cities, states, counties, they benefit greatly from these professional franchises. I mean, how much did winning the Super Bowl for the Chiefs actually mean to the city of Kansas City and the state of Missouri as a whole, from a pure marketing standpoint? Millions, if not billions, right? I mean, why do universities ultimately love winning college sports? Because their enrollment goes through the roof.
Yep.
I told you, I have a buddy who went to Valpo. He only heard of Valpo because Bryce Drew hit that shot. I mean, it's...
It puts you on the map.
And all of a sudden, you can see these tangible things go up. So, like, of course, if the Chiefs came to Salt Lake and said, hey, we'd love to move here, what do you think that this community would do to land that kind of marketing capability for our community as a whole? We'd do anything for it.
The interesting thing about...
That's not fair, because billionaires can afford it, and you can always make that argument, but it's way more complex than that, unfortunately.
The interesting thing about Kansas City is, what is unique about Kansas City as a city?
Oh, their organized crime history.
I was going to say they're split on state lines, right? So you might be in Missouri one minute and in Kansas the next. And the hard part is, legitimately, you could stay in Kansas City, move across the street, and be in Kansas and let the state of Kansas benefit from those things and raise the sales tax in Kansas, and they may be willing to do that. I would keep an eye on that. If they feel like Kansas is willing to do it and Missouri is not, they might move to the Kansas side of the
jump
world.
Jump over the river or whatever.
Yeah.
It's only like a quarter of Kansas City is in Kansas.
All you need is a square block.
Yeah, right. I hear you. Well, and the New York teams don't even play in New York. Yeah, no, I got it. Well, it'd be their loss if they lost the Chiefs or the Royals, and the Royals are terrible.
From ESPN, this could mean many things. Speaking of the rejected vote, the Chiefs could try again with a reworked plan more agreeable to voters, change their entire funding approach to include more private investment, or list of offers from competing cities and states, such as Kansas, just across the state line to the west. That would provide the public funding they desire. That's always the issue.
Stay tuned. We've got more coming up next. We've got What You Got Wednesday at 11:30. It's Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.